Father Jacob has headed off to Choron, and there he meets his uncle and his cousins, and he strikes a deal with his uncle, who's very unhappy that he comes penniless. That he'll let him marry his daughter, but of course he'll have to work for it. And so he does work for it. He works for 7 years, seven long years, and now it's finally time for the wedding. And Lavan, who is a mastermind charlatan, swindler, expert at deception, figured out a way to keep Yaakov working for much longer. He bet that Yaakov would want to marry Rachel in the end anyway. And so he decided to give Leah over in marriage. And there's a lot of wacky stuff that happened that night and how Lavan fooled everybody. I'm going to talk about that tonight in Mitzvah Shem. But for this morning's class, we're going to talk about the post-mortem. Vayi ba'baker, verse 25, chapter 29, verse 25. And so it was in the morning. Vehine yi Leah. It's not Rachel, it's Leah. Vayemer Lavan, he says to Lavan, ma zeis asisali. What is this? What'd you do to me? Haloi v'rochel avadati imach. I worked for the hand of Rachel. V'lomo rimisani. Why did you cheat me? Rashi says, v'yehi ba'beker. And so it was in the morning, v'hine hi Leah, and behold, she is Leah. So v'hine is like a chiddush. Ooh, something new. I didn't know about this. Only in the morning, it's as if she turned into Leah. Aval belaila. In the evening, it wasn't Leah. Why is this? Because Yankiv, our father Jacob, made up a series of signs with his wife Rachel because he suspected Lavan would try to play a game like this. And Rachel went ahead. When Rachel saw what's going on and that Leah was going to be the one wearing the wedding gown tonight, Amra, she said, she'll be brought in at a wedding gown. Yaakov will notice. She won't know the signs. Lavan doesn't know we have signs. And then there will be a terrible shame and a disaster and embarrassment for my sister. Amda, she rose. She gave over those very signs. So this is how Yaakov got fooled. More about this in the class that we'll learn about tonight, about how exactly that happened. Doesn't sound like it makes so much sense. But at any rate, just for purposes of expediency, we're just going to move forward. So bottom line is, Yaakov wakes up in the morning, and it is Leah. Interesting to note, says the Aruch Chaim, that the word Vayihi is L'shen Tzar. This was not a happy moment, and it says that Yaakov felt tremendous pain for Rachel. Not pain for himself. He felt pain for Rachel. He knows what happened to Rachel, and he felt tremendous pain for her. Okay. So the Gemara Megillah tells us on page 13, which Rashi says, he gave over the signs, and that's how it happened. So where did we go from here? Yankov Avinu, our father Jacob, attacks Lavan, and he says, you swindled me. You cheated me. Vayomer Lavan. Lavan said, listen, lo yeyasachem bimkeimenu. We don't do those things like that here. Losis hatzeiro lefnei abechira, to allow the younger daughter to marry before the older daughter. In other words, he went ahead and blamed it on somebody else. He says, L'yas ha'zeisbim kemenu. In our place, we don't do this. What do you want me to do? I can't fight the mores, the accepted etiquette of society. There was no other way for me to do this. Now, Yaakov Avinu, he says two things. He says, Halei barachal avadati, v'lo marim yisani. So the Eruch Chaim says, first of all, the act of deception in and of itself bothered him terribly. That he did, and second of all, he said, how could you do to your own daughter? How could a woman go to the chuppah knowing that it's a masquerade? Who does this? How could you do such a thing? And Lavan's response is, well, that's how it is around here, my friend. Welcome to the Wild West. This is the way we do things in Vegas. Nope. Go tell him something. So Lavan says, but don't worry, I got a plan. This can work out. Verse 27, Male Shavuah Zeis. Finish this Shavua. I'm purposely not translating that. We'll see what it means in a minute. V'nitna l'cha gam Eszeis ba'aveda asher ta'avedi madi. You'll get this one too, for the work that you will do with me. Oid sheva shanim acheres. Another 7 years. Another 7 years of hard work. So he said, the first 7 years you worked, that didn't work so well, but don't worry, you can work again. And when you work again, then it'll work out. And then you can get Rachel too. And that's Lavan's plan. Rashi says, why is it? Well, before we go to why. Male Shavua Zeis. So the shin of Shavua has a Shva. Doesn't say Shavua, it's a Shavua. And Rashi says that's because Dovaku, it is connected to the word Zeis, the word that follows. Sha'arei Nokod B'chataf, it's vowelized with a chataf, which is what Rashi calls a Shavua. Shavua, because Shavua Shal Zeis means the week, this one's week. Who's this one's week? V'hein Shivas Yimei HaMishta. These are the 7 days of feasting, which we know that there are 7 days in which you celebrate after making a wedding, after making a chasana. So therefore, Sheva Brachas. We call them Sheva Brachas, but it really is Sheva Simeon Mishta. It happens to be the 7 blessings, but it's 7 days in which the festivities continue. And this is found in the Gemara Yerushalmis in Meid Katan, in Meseches Meid Katan. Incidentally, the Gemara over there also says, we have a halacha, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. You don't have two joys mixed together, because then one overrides the other and eclipses the other. And therefore, we say, for example, you don't get married during Chol HaMoed. It would be a perfect time to get married. Everybody's home anyway. People are in a festive mood anyway. They're wearing the Shabbat clothes already. So a beautiful time. Who wants to get married on Pesach or on Sukkot? You can't do that. Why? Because Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. You don't have one Simcha overshadow the other one. Ef Shalaymar. You cannot say, says Rashi, Shavua Mamesh, that he actually meant 7, which would have meant 7 days. Sheim Kain, or Yetzarech Li Noked B'Pasach Hashin, then he should have, he says Pasach, what really means a comma. So it sort of says Shavua, whether it would be a week or 7 years. But the point is, if it would be an actual time of 7, then it would have to have said it. This is the rules of grammar. V'oid, Sheshavua, Lashon Zachar, the word Shavua is a masculine word in Hebrew. K'dichsiv, Shiva, Shavuos, Tisper Lach, and Shiva is masculine. And if it would be in the feminine tense, which you know Hebrew has masculine and feminine, like French or other languages, so it would have to say the idea of Sheva. But it doesn't say Sheva, it says Shiva. And since it says Shavua Zeis, Lefichach Ein Mashma, Shavua, it doesn't mean a regular week, Ella Shiva Yamim, it means 7 days, which are connected to this marriage. And that's what Rashi says in Old French is called a steiner, a collection of days that revolves or is connected to a certain event.
It's a group of 7.
Group of 7. That's like a famous Canadian painter.
7.
7 of them. Okay. Because you have somebody speaking French here. So yeah, it's a group of 7, a collection of 7. V'nitna l'cha, and we will give you. Who's we? So Rashi says, Lashon Rabim. He uses a plural expression. K'mar nerda, v'nivla, v'nisrafa, which are other expressions in the Bible, even though it's actually one, it's Hashem. But Hashem nonetheless says, we will. Afzeh, Lashon v'nitein. We will give, that's the way it goes. So Ramban basically explains Rashi that it's Lashon nechbadim, he says. Derech nechbadim, it's a way of honor to speak in plural. We would call this, in plain English, the royal we. The royal we. So it's like, we will do this for you. But the Chizkuni says, no. Take that literally, we. Because he blamed it on the people to begin with. So he continues his strategy. He says, oh, we will do this. He says, even though we had to do what we did before, not me, the people. I had to keep the people happy. But now we, the people, we will agree. In other words, I couldn't get your marriage license before. The magistrate wouldn't issue the license. Now we will be able to do this because now we're doing everything according to code. Now we're following the laws. This is the real ganef. He's using the law to justify his theft. He blames his act of deception on being a law-abiding citizen.
So it seems like Levin had the knowledge of halacha because he's talking about Simcha and Shavuot Brachos.
Seems Lavan had marriage of halacha. Well, maybe he knew that Yaakov wouldn't do something which was wrong.
But where did he get this knowledge?
I guess he hung around Yaakov. He found out all kinds of things.
Okay.
Another possibility is, why would the Torah tell this to us? Of what relevance is the discussion of Shavuot, right, not Shavuot? The Torah does talk about it, so clearly the Torah wants to tell us something. So whether Lavan realized or not, what in fact this was the right thing to do. So he says, so what should we do? This is how we're going to do it. Vayas Yaakov Cain. Verse 28 says Yaakov did that. Vayimale Shavua Zeis. He finished this Shavua. Vayitin Leis Rachel Bitilil Isha. And then he gave him Rachel, his daughter, as a wife. Why does it say Loi Es Rachel Bitil Loi? It says the word Loi twice, to him and to him. Vayitin Loi gave to him. Rachel Bitil Loi to him. So Tzer Hamor says, because this time Yaakov was very, very careful. He said, let me see the veiled bride before I marry her. Let me make sure I know. He didn't trust science, he didn't trust anything. At this point, he needed to make sure he was full hands-on. He said, Rachel, that's the right one. Only when he knew fully what's going on, only then was he prepared to get married to her. Now, the Torah tells us, he gave a maidservant to Rachel. And then, Father Yaakov was consummated his marriage with Rachel. He loved Rachel more than Leah. But then, he got to work, because Yaakov was an honest man. If he said he was going to work another 7 years, he worked another 7 years. Now the question, of course, is why does it say Oid Sheva Shana Machedes? What's Achedes? Other? What's it? Other 7 years? So Rashi tells us Hikishon L'Rishonis. This is juxtaposed to the first 7 years. Ma Rishonis Be'Amuna. Just like he worked the first 7 years with full integrity. Afa Achreinis Be'Amuna. The second 7 years he also worked with integrity. Afal Pi Shabramoz Bolov. Even though he came and he fooled him. And it came through deception. And it wasn't a fair deal. But nonetheless, that's the deal. That was the deal he kept. Full integrity. That's Yaakov, man of integrity. So we see Yaakov is a man of integrity. We see that he follows the employers and employee etiquette to the nth degree, even though he has every reason to try to back out of it. We see, as you correctly pointed out, that Yaakov didn't want to marry before a week, just to follow the halacha. So what's the big question? The big question here is, if he's so careful about the halacha, and he's so honest, and he does everything with so much integrity, how could he marry two sisters? The Torah prohibits such a thing. So, there are many different answers to this question. According to the Chizkuni, our father Yaakov married two women who had converted, and therefore when you're converted, you're kunkotan shanila dami, you're like a child reborn, and therefore it's a new reality. It's only midrabban, only rabbinically we wouldn't be allowed to do something like that, but biblically, after conversion takes place, it's a new person. That's one answer that Chizkuni gives. Chizkuni also suggests that they came from different mothers, even though Lavan was the common father, they didn't have the same mother, and therefore, with Bnei Noach, we follow paternity, not maternity. Ramban says that there's this business of keeping the Torah that was only in the land of Eretz Yisrael, and not outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's why he maintains Rachel died when he came back to Eretz Yisrael. But the Rebbe says that's very problematic, because Yaakov says, when he sends a message next week to Esav, he says, Taryag mitzvah shomarti. I kept 630 mitzvahs. But he really didn't keep 630 mitzvahs. He violated at least one of them. He was married to two sisters. And anyway, that statement seems to intimate that he did keep the mitzvahs even when he was outside of Eretz Yisrael. With regard to the words of the Chizkuni, which is also brought down by the Levush and others, Rebbe says, "B'derech ha-pshat, we never heard such a thing." In pshuta shel mikra, on a literal level, this is like you know, it's nuanced halacha of that doesn't exist yet technically. So, on a simple level, how does this work? On a straightforward, simple level, without using halachic gymnastics, how is it possible that Yaakov took two sisters? So, page Samach Gimel onward, the Rebbe brings down the famous question of the Rishonim, and he says, "How did Yaakov do this? How did he marry two sisters and violate the prohibition of Isha elachaisa lesikach?" The Rebbe says, page Samach Dalet, Hagur Arye Metiretz, the Maharal of Prague answered, Zahoyo al pi ruach ha-kodesh. This was by a divine dictate. Okay, so he had a prophecy. Prophecy, God said, marry her. There's no choice. But the Rebbe says that's problematic. Kosho leime came b'derech pshuta shel mikra. If you want to speak midrashically, fine. Anything's possible. But in the pshuta shel mikra, when God speaks to Yaakov, it's documented. When he comes in and tells him, Ufaratz the yom avakedma, that your children will powerfully spread forth, it says that God spoke to him. When Yaakov Avinu has revelation later on, and God says that you should go home, he spoke to him. And here it doesn't say anything about Hashem speaking to him. We don't find anywhere where Hashem came to Yaakov and said, marry her. You should marry her. Go ahead. Doesn't say that. Adarabba. The Pashto Saksuvim, when you read the Psukim straightforwardly, as we just did, Mashma, it seems very clear, She Yaakov Atzmai, Hu Sharatza Losses is Rachel. It seems that Yaakov Avinu is the one who wants to marry Rachel. Velochain, Nasa Isar Gam La'achre Sharima Isai. Therefore, he married her even after Lavan had pulled a fast one, and after he had deceived him. Nonetheless, he says, V'nitin Le'yam Esleya. We gave you also Leah, and now he wants to take Rachel. No choice. And especially when it says, Vayehav es Rachel gami Leah. So like Ramban says, usually the nature is that the first marriage, that's like, unless the marriage goes sour, that remains very special. So this was the first marriage. Yaakov's first marriage was to Leah. So Rachel would always only be a second fiddle, a second finger. And in fact, Ramban says was not the case. Vayehav gam es Rachel mileah. The Kliyarka says something amazing. He says, Yaakov should have been angry at Rachel. Why did you give the signs? You dropped the ball. But Yaakov appreciated Rachel even more because he understood that Rachel didn't do this because she wanted to do it. She didn't want her sister to be embarrassed. When Yaakov saw her midot tovot, he saw how concerned she was about the welfare of another, he was so taken by this that so it wasn't just a question of physical love, love of her appearance, it was a love of her character. He was so taken by her kindness, by her compassion. And that's why he responded in this way. Anyway, clearly Yaakov wants to marry him. So how does he do so? V'yesh l'taret zeis b'shnei efanim. The Rebbe offers us two very original, creative approaches to this problem. Approach number one. Ha'oveis kimu es kol ha'mitzvahs koydim matan Torah. Yes, indeed, it is true. The patriarchs and the matriarchs, they did all the mitzvahs before the Torah was given. However, did they do so out of duty, because they had to, or was it because they elected to? Very important question. And a very big difference. The answer makes a big difference. Was it what we call in Hebrew chovah, they had to do this, or something that they chose to or wanted to do? So obviously there was no chovah, there was no obligation, because the mitzvahs were not yet given. So if the mitzvahs were not yet given, this is what we would call a chumrah. We would call it a stringency. Or we would call it a hidur. We would call it going the added mile, doing something more, something extra. Kivan shekach, and since that's the case, Muvenitz understood, shekiyam mitzvahs elu, einoy yochel lidchiz dvarim achedim, sha'avas nitztavu al kiyumam. Since these mitzvahs are not being done out of a sense of duty, out of a sense of responsibility, because they were commanded to, but rather because they elected to, the Rebbe says it's understood that a choosing an additional stringency, electing to do something, cannot deflect or take the place of something you're actually bound by, something you have a legal obligation to. So how does that answer the question? Well, it actually does. Ben Yonenu, with regard to, well, our situation here. Yaakov hiftiach l'Rachel sheyisa isa l'isha. Yaakov made a promise. The promise was made to Rachel. He promised Rachel he was going to marry her. Vaf nasan l'simanim. He prepared. He gave her signs. And this was all b'keshel l'kach, all in connection, in conjunction with this event that he was going to marry her, and they were going to make sure this happened. And Yaakov knew that Lavan was a thief. He knew he was a charlatan. He knew he was a master of deception. And he thought that he had outsmarted Lavan and he would make this work. And he was convinced that that's in fact what was going to happen. And his bond and his commitment was to Rachel. Now, what happens? What happens is he's married to Leah. Now, if he would back out of his deal, He would say to Rachel, you know, I made a promise to you, but I keep mitzvahs. And the mitzvahs say, I can't do this, so sorry. Can't marry you. It's too late. Talk to your father. La'achare shenosas, Leah, after he marries Leah. If he would back out or he would renege b'haftach chosei on his promise, losas is Rachel. And the reason that he would renege, not because he wanted to renege, but because he's Yaakov. There's an iser, losas shne'achoyes. You're not allowed to marry two sisters. So in doing so, he would keep the mitzvah of not marrying two sisters, a stringency, something which is not required by halacha, and in doing so, what would he do? What would automatically happen? Then he would violate the code of morality, the code of decency, the code of truth and integrity. And Yaakov Avinu, as we see, is a man of great integrity. Because he's obligated to be so. Because that's what the seven mitzvahs, which are binding upon all of humanity at that time, the others were also bound by the seven mitzvahs. One of the seven mitzvahs is dinim. One of the seven mitzvahs is laws, living lawfully. And living lawfully means to keep your word. And if you don't keep your word, you're not living lawfully. So, hoya nechshav la'avin, gam be'eni b'nei nech. What would everybody else say? So this guy's a cheater. He said he's going to do things, but he doesn't keep his word. Why doesn't he keep his word? Oh, I don't know. He has some kind of stringency. He wants to go the extra mile. He has a mitzvah. I don't know, what kind of mitzvah? We have an obligation here. You gave your word. You made a promise. So you're legally bound. And since you're legally bound, kefisha matzinu shafilu love and harami ne'elatz lihisnatzel la'achar sheyakov tom befanav. Even when Yaakov comes to love and he says, why did you lie to me? How could you act with deception? Have you no shame? No integrity? What did Lavan say? Lavan didn't laugh in his face and say, shame? Integrity? What, are you joking? Lavan didn't say that. What did he say? He made up this excuse. He said, I couldn't get your marriage license. I tried to get your marriage license. The magistrate wouldn't issue it. They said, how could you, Lavan? You have a younger daughter and an older daughter. Marry off your older daughter. Then we'll talk about the younger daughter. In other words, Lavan had to find some kind of legal wrangling to explain away his actions. This shows you clearly that when it came to the legal code of the day, which is by Torah binding, you have to do what you said you're going to do. And Lavan didn't say is what he's going to do. Yaakov is a complaint. He doesn't dismiss it, Lavan. He makes an excuse why he didn't keep it. So everybody understands that it's binding to keep your word. Right? His word is his bond. That's not a Jewish thing only. People talk about it all the time. A person who's honest. People say people do business on the back of a napkin. There's no contract. There's just a promise. It's a handshake. That's all. That's people consider that to be virtuous. Why? Somebody's a man of their word. So Yaakov Avinu is a man of his word, and as such, Yaakov has no choice but to do what he promised because that's what he's legally bound to do. Yaakov have to keep his promise. Lost his Yisrael. Even though she is the sister of Leah. So that he won't violate the prohibition, the code of lying, when he would renege and rescind the agreement that he made. What lesson can we learn from this? From here we can learn a beautiful lesson. And the beautiful lesson is, a person cannot come along and say, I have stringencies. Yeah? And the stringencies are going to be in a way linig behidurim, to do the extra mile, be super meticulous, she'enim mechuyiv b'mitzad adin, which are not obligatory, which are not binding. And even worse, kasher adavar karuch b'fgia ba'adam acher, when somebody else gets hurt in the process. Like the proverbial story of the guy who loves to wrap his talus with such fervor that he knocked the other guy in the eyes. You know, like being very stringent. He's being very, very frum. Being so frum that he does it in somebody else's cheshbon and he harms somebody else in the process. So that is not appropriate. And that the Torah speaks to us in very, very clear language and said even Yaakov Avinu, who kept all the mitzvahs, was unable to keep this mitzvah. Why? Because he had a mitzvah to keep. No, it was a mitzvah cheshbon. The Rebbe also answers, that's how Yaakov said Tayag mitzvah shamarti. How can he say Tayag mitzvah shamarti? He kept 613. He violated very, very openly one of the 613. So the Rebbe said, it doesn't say teriyag mitzvahs asiti. It doesn't say I did teriyag mitzvahs. It says shomarti, I kept them. I kept them means I was always making the cheshbon, the calculation. I didn't forget about my mitzvahs. I remained committed to mitzvahs. So this was out of commitment to mitzvahs. Yaakov made a calculation. He had no choice. Out of a commitment to mitzvahs, this was the appropriate thing to do. And we're out of time, but that is the first and answer, which is a major chiddush, as they say, a major novelty with regard to this age-old question of how Yaakov Avinu married the sister wives.